This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
Load up those phone lines. We want you to call. Got a lot of football stuff going on this weekend. A lot of controversy, a lot of craziness, a lot of disappointment on the Seahawks. But still, call us, 866-979-ESPN. 206-421-ESPN. We are taking your text questions at 206-421-7763776 on the Mac and Jack text line. So call us there. Let's go to Gil in Bothell. Hey, Gil.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, do you think the Seahawks defense continue to go like the whole season? Will that put any coaches on the hot seats going forward? So making changes?
Certainly it's going to put the defensive coordinator on the hot seat. Pete Carroll has too good of a record. Let's say, for example, this is a non-playoff year. And, of course, when you lose your starting quarterback, all of a sudden that creeps in because, he's going to miss this week and then three more weeks. And so he's not going to be able to play till after the bye week when they go against Green Bay, if then. And so that knocks you down. You just have to you have to make the best you can. I still go by the idea that, if you have a good backup quarterback, and obviously Geno Smith's a good backup quarterback, he can come off the bench to win you three games, but if you play him six, he can lose you three games. And so, a backup quarterback, best you can hope for is a .500 record. That's the best you can hope for. And so it's like, we'll see where that goes. Now, again, New Orleans is not that good of a team. I know they've played decently. They got a 3-2 record and all that stuff. But they were down as many as 10 starters at the beginning of the season, and so they have some holes. Now they're starting to get some guys back, and that'll make them dangerous for the Monday night game. But in the end, I think what you're looking at is that there'll be obviously some has to have some changes because, again, if this season's not going to work out, something has to be adjusted, but it won't be the head coach.
What about what's going on with Chris Carson? He's gone out there for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you see any changes going in the offseason because he's not able to finish the whole season couple of years.
Well, apparently, this is a neck injury that I may go back before he came into the National Football League. And so because of the fact he's so physical as a runner, he does tend to, have a sore neck and all that stuff. And that neck has been sore, particularly in the last few weeks. And so now not only did he miss last week and the week before that, now he's going to go on injured reserve today and then be out for three more weeks. So he's out to the bye week. So now you lose your starting running back for 5 weeks. And then, you look back in history, Chris Carson has, missed three games or more so often, because, again, of the physical nature of his running. And that's obviously why, for example, when he hit free agency, and, of course, I even go back to, when he came into the league, he was held down a little bit because I think the injury factor. And like, for example, this year, he tried to get some big money in free agency, but we had to come back and settle for a little over $5 million to come back with the Seahawks on a 2-year deal. So it's like, that's been the problem. And of course, you can see that, they're going to have to address the running back position if he's going to continue to be hurt like that, because you know that Rashad Penny's not going to be back because he's always hurt. And then, he still had, Alex Collins is going to be there, but they've got a lot of work to do if this is going to be an off season.
And you think, I heard the rumors out there that Seahawks will trade that for and trade any for going for a cornerback, the Broncos. I forgot the guy's name, but do you think they're going to trade for it before the season's deadline's over?
Yeah, they could. Again, it's like they weren't going to spend the $7 million, which would have been $5.8 million for Stephon Gilmore. They just didn't want to do that because, again, he's 31, he's injured, and he didn't have a good season last year, and this is the year after he was a defensive MVP. So it's like, they didn't want to take that risk. But understand that John Snyder is involved in every single deal in the National Football League. So he's always going to be looking, and you see what he's done over the last couple of years. They needed help at the defensive end position, so they go ahead and they get Carlos Dunlap last year. You know, they were able to get Quandre Diggs during the season, so they're always going to be looking, and they got plenty of cap room because they got about, you know, $11, $12 million of cap room right now. So, you know, they should be fine in that regard. But again, right now they just got to, you know, get things internally fixed so that they can play better and see if they can win.
All right, thanks, John. Thanks for taking the call. You have a great weekend.
Gil, hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Corey in Puyallup. Hey, Corey.
How you doing, JC?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. I'm just getting real sick of all this Seahawk hate. You know, I mean, like, all the Seahawk fans just freak out after every single loss. It just gets real annoying. I mean,
I agree. I'm as annoyed as you are.
I mean, I get it. We're used to winning, but I mean, it's not like we're going to win the Super Bowl every year and never lose. And I mean, think about the teams in the last 10 years. Who's had a better run than the Seahawks, the Saints, and the Patriots? That's about it, really.
Yeah.
You
can say Green Bay too.
Yeah, Green Bay's up there, but I mean, you don't expect to make it to the Super Bowl every year. I mean, if that happens, you might as well just.
You look, for example, at like Green Bay. I mean, again, and this is the history of the league. It's tough to get to the Super Bowl.
It's very hard.
There's so many things that work against you. Like, for example, what works against you if you're trying
injuries.
To get injuries. I mean, because again, if you get key injuries, particularly toward the end of the season, you know, that works against you. Then, of course, you've got different type of things, and you know, but that's why, for example, you don't have many consistent Super Bowl winners. Sure, the Patriots were able to do that, and there was more consistency in the AFC because, I mean, until Patrick Mahomes got to Kansas City, I mean, you go back to, 2003, there was only four teams that, went to the Super Bowl and won. I mean, you had the, Joe Flacco with Baltimore. You had Ben Roethlisberger. You had, Tom Brady. And then you had Peyton Manning. That was it. I mean, that was it for more than a decade. And so it's like, and you look in the AFC, it's like, okay, as good as Green Bay's been with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, what? They've been to, two Super Bowls and won one, okay? And I know in the last four NFC championship games, Aaron Rodgers has lost every one of them.
Yeah, and another thing I'm not getting, I mean, isn't it week 6?
Yes.
I thought the season was over in week 18 this year.
It is. Well, I mean,
people are saying the Seahawks are done. I mean, if you ask me, we still got 12 more games to go. And just because Geno's going to be 3 games, I mean, if we go 2-1 here and then we get a good run with Russ, I mean, I don't think the Cardinals are amazing as everyone thinks. I mean, I think they're lucky, like they kind of got last year, 6-2 start. I mean, they could do that again and then choke again. I don't think the team that scares me the most is the Rams. The Cardinals don't really scare me. I mean, come on, Seahawks fan. Just because we're used to winning here, let's not give up on our team.
I'll tell you what, Corey, you're a voice of reason. A voice of reason we need because, again, I just sit here. I know all the hosts here at 710 sit here and hear all the negativity. You know, and again, it's like, you know, they keep bringing up, well, Russ will be gone next year. He can't
says
go
who?
Anywhere.
Yeah, says who?
Yeah. I mean, it's like.
Why wouldn't he want to come back? I mean, where would he really go?
Great. I mean, it's like, for example, I mean, again, we know his agent is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, but Mark Rogers also couldn't win a little World Series. So, I mean, what can that guy really do?
Yeah, I agreed. I mean, again, he's a baseball.
Yeah, it seemed like he bought his whole Little League team and he still couldn't win it.
Exactly. So it's like, but again, you know, it's like, it's a matter of patching things together because the one thing is, I mean, you go to another team, you don't know what you're going to get. And so.
And another thing I can't stand is stop this Pete Carroll talk. Pete is not going anywhere. Pete is the Seahawk.
I agree.
The only way Pete's leaving is if Pete's retiring. That's
right.
Pete's not going anywhere, guys, so just get used to that.
No, and nor should he. And again, it's like, he's got this team in the playoffs just about every year he's been here.
Exactly. We've made the playoffs 10 years in a row, and people are still complaining.
And they're talking about how bad this team is.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
It's playing bad, no question about it.
But this team has definitely a ton of talent, and don't get me wrong, we figure out a few things here. The league's going to be on notice, and trust me, Seattle will be there in the end of the year.
There you go.
Trust me.
Hey, Corey.
Seattle will be there.
Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
All right. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here. In the meantime, we'll also take your text questions, and that'll be at 206-421-3776, and that's on the Mac and Jack's text line from the 253. John, do you think that the Seahawks will make a move for a new short-term quarterback while Wilson is down? When do you think we should see him back on the field? Well, I mean, you know, they brought in Blake Bortles last week, and they didn't sign him, but I think that that's a definite possibility to bring in Blake Bortles next week and try to, look at things. Again, I mean, some people keep on bringing up the idea of Cam Newton, and again, I just don't think he's a fit in this offense because, again, he's not as accurate as you want for this type of an offense. And sure, he's a running quarterback, but the one thing that has changed in the last 24 hours is that he did get vaccinated. So now, if he does, and of course, I think it's still a matter, he's got to wait another week or so because he just got vaccinated this week, and you need 2 weeks to be fully vaccinated. And so it's like, but he is vaccinated, so that, gives that option available too. But again, my guess is what you're looking at is the three weeks of injury, Russell Wilson being on that injured list, and that most likely he's going to go past the bye week and be there for the Green Bay game. That would be my anticipation, so stay tuned to that. From the 360, who do you rank the NFC West now that Wilson is down for the next few weeks? Well, I mean, it's still a matter that Arizona currently is above the Rams, because, again, they beat the Rams and they're 5-0. But, again, that could change tomorrow because of the problems that the Cardinals have. They won't have Cliff Kingsbury. They won't have some of their key offensive coaches. They won't have probably Chandler Jones. They've got other players that are on the COVID list and not going to be able to go. So, they've got some big issues right now. That's definitely going to be a problem. So, so that would put the Rams back on top. And then, I think it's just a matter between, I think Seahawks would be number three. And right now the 49ers number four. And the only reason I put the 49ers number four is they continue to mount injury after injury after injury. It just doesn't stop. And so, that was the same thing that happened to them last year, and they dropped down to 6-10. So it's like, we'll see if they have any improvement with the injury situation. But if they don't, it'll be a repeat of last season. From the 425, did you watch any of the start of the Kraken season? Yes, I watched both games, and I'm impressed. Because, again, what I like about the Kraken, even though they didn't match up athletically against Las Vegas, they were resilient. They were down 3-0. They came back. They had two goals in like about a minute. That was encouraging. And then, you can see that they finally got their first win on Thursday and a 4-3 basis. And the goaltender seems to be real good. And if you have a good goaltender, then you can stay in most games. And so I like what I see of the Kraken. And it's still going to be great to see when they finally get their first home game. Now, Professor, what do you think of the London games? Does the NFL think it can expand with worldwide teams? Well, they do, but again, they're not going to because, again, I can't see the NFL owners going past 32 teams and its expansion. Now, I don't know if Jacksonville eventually will move to London or play half their games in London or whatever it is, but what they're looking at is that you can see the soccer market and you can see that there's so much money out there as far as sponsorships. And if they can get football, which, of course, this is a different version. Soccer is a different version of football. But if they can get football out there, then they can get some of that money. And if that's going to be the case, it just raises more revenue for the owners. And, of course, they're always interested in raising revenue. So you put all that together, and it's like, okay, let's see where it goes. Let's put it there. I went to London. I'm glad I went. Hope not to go back soon. But, again, the Seahawks eventually are going to get a game in the next couple of years where they're going to be overseas. So you have to, stay tuned for that. But in the end, it's like, I'm not thrilled with it. But, I mean, the only good thing about it is that you get to watch a game at 6:30 in the morning. And so you start Sunday morning off like you will tomorrow morning and you did last week, being able to watch football. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Dave Crosby at the bottom of the hour, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John. Another great show.
Oh, thank you.
Any series coming up?
Nothing right now. No, just waiting it out.
Yeah. A couple quick questions about the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
I noticed the cornerbacks coming off of the injury that his name just escapes me.
Ronald Darby.
Yeah, like that. Is he going to jump right back into the starting position, or are they going to keep Sertan out there?
I think they probably will alternate him a little bit. I know Vic Fangio. By the way, I know I wrote about this for 104.3, is that I appreciate Vic Fangio's honesty. You know, so like you ask him about Darby, he's like, well, we'll see. We'll get him back there. But ultimately, I mean, he's going to be the starter. But again, they like Sertan enough. And also, Sertan's a little bit banged up. So, you know, I think it's going to be they'll share the position and do some different things. And they may put Sertan a little bit in the slot. But, I mean, that's the advantage. But, of course, what the heck happened, Victor, with Kyle Fuller last week? Oh, my God.
The plays where he was beat, I mean – both those passes, I mean, just if he was maybe 2 inches taller, he would have knocked both of them away. But I guess that's the name of the game. He just, I don't know. I don't know what happened. And there was no pressure on Ben. No one was getting through. It was rough to watch, especially the first three quarters. I don't. And then the offense.
Yeah.
Was it like 20% on third down? On
third down conversions are 28.4.
That's
worst
horrible.
In football.
Yeah, that's horrible. And then that's what you brought Bridgewater in to do. And it didn't seem like he wanted to run last week out of the pocket. I mean, there's a couple plays, even that last touchdown or the touchdown they could have scored to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
Guy was covered. He scrambled out 2 yards to the right and ran it in. But yeah, I missed opportunity, John. It's getting tiresome.
So you knew it was going to be a 3-0 start because of the schedule, but now they've lost 2 in a row, and you start to worry. It's like, where is this football team? You know, because now they're just hanging on, and they've got to get this fixed, or you know, this season's just going to be another average one. And if that's going to be the case, I mean, would you agree if this is going to be an 8-9 team or something like that? There's going to be a new coach next year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to Fangio will be able to save his job if they're not 500. Or well, I guess it can't be 500.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're not battling making games into the end of January that are reasonable. And he probably deserves it. He's a great defensive coach. It didn't seem like he paid attention too much to offense.
Uh-huh.
He brought on Pat Shurmur. I know they wanted to get rid of Pat Shurmur at one point, but he's a good friend with them, so I guess that's his job security. But Shurmur doesn't seem like he's doing the offense any favors. I mean, I know they only got a certain amount of plays last week, but
yeah.
I mean, it was disgusting to watch. And then, on the wide receiver, or also on the defense, is Chubb able to come back this week? I thought this was his fourth game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's able to come back,
but he's not
healthy enough to come back.
Oh, man.
I mean, because I know they said early in the week he's still a couple weeks away.
Dang. Yeah, I must have missed that one. The one thing I don't like about Fangio, it does seem that he doesn't take blame. And I know nothing should be completely blamed on him, but a lot of stuff like coaches' calls, timeouts, he doesn't really say, okay, my bad, I'll try to improve on this. He seems to point the finger elsewhere, and I get, you know, you don't want to own up to too much like that. Do you see if Bridgewater has another game or two like this and Denver loses two more that they might consider bringing in Goofy? Locke?
I don't know. I mean, I think that still would be a downgrade, but I think if they lose a couple more games and, you know, they're not getting third down conversions, they're getting too many third and longs, yeah, then I think that they may look at it. But again, is that going to make it better? Because even, you know, when he had to fill in for the injury with the concussion with Teddy Bridgewater, he didn't look great. I mean, he had an interception. And, you know, again, I mean, you can see this is going to be his last year. But let me ask you this, Victor. Is that because, again, you know, I am writing for 104.3 and love doing it and all that different stuff.
Yeah, great articles.
Yeah, you like them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see them all the time. I try to retweet them and say, they're good. They're good insight.
Yeah, but here's what I'm wondering about. Think about the change that's going to happen next year, because I think it's pretty evident that the team is going to be sold, right? Would you agree? Yeah. So it's like they're going to sell the team. And if that's going to be the case, there could be a lot of changes. Now, again, you know, with the 6-year contract that George Payton's going to be the general manager, and rightfully so. I mean, he's earned that and he's done a good job of acquiring talent. But I think what you're also looking at is that, new ownership, possibly new coach, new situations like that could be bad.
It, I would imagine it would be bad, especially since you're going to have to learn a new system for a lot of these young offensive players. But the team is very young.
Yeah.
They got a lot of talent. They got a lot of talent on offense if they can stay healthy. I mean, running back set, wide receiver set, offensive line maybe needs a little bit of work, but they're all young.
Mm-hmm.
Defense has a lot of a couple more aging stars. But whoever comes in, I don't think it's a long road like you had with the Jets or some of these other teams. Their coffers never been empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they can't. They're not gelling. They're not performing. That offense, the quarterback is not doing it. You said this many times and many years ago about if you have a quarterback, you know they can make up for a lot of things. If you don't have a quarterback, then all the other deficiencies that are in the team are going to show themselves, and that's what's been happening the last 4 years. Denver's had a playoff team with their stars or the ability. It just said three and out, turnover. You can't win games like that. Even when Peyton was playing his last year and he wasn't effective that much, he still was safe with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to hit within the 15, 20 yards. So even a third and eight, nothing seemed unmanageable. And he was smart with the team. But it's with Bridgewater or Luck or Simeon or whoever, they don't have the mind that Peyton does of knowing whether or the practice ability.
Right, right.
I don't hear anything coming out of the camp where Bridgewater would stay with the wide receivers and work on the timing or anything. I know Peyton demanded a lot of that, so it's rough.
It is.
What new head coaches are out there, you think? Hot takes.
I mean, again, it's like, I mean, you're looking at the Joe Brady's and, you know, you're looking at the Buffalo offensive coordinator. I mean, so many teams right now want to hire, coaches that are offensive minded and call their own plays and all that stuff. So, again, we'll see. I mean, obviously, they're not going to hire a college coach, but right now things are bad. Hey, Victor, thank you for the phone call.
All right, take care, John. Have a good weekend.
All right, let's go to Steve in Skyway. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning. Good. How are you?
All right. Hey, I wanted to cut a couple things I wanted to cover with you today. The Thursday night game with Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Arians is known, you know, his famous saying, "No risk it, no biscuit."
Right.
Was that sound the way they handled Richard Sherman?
They probably handled it wrong, but they basically didn't have any choice. I mean, because, you know, they went down, two cornerbacks, and then they lost their top third. They were down three cornerbacks. And so now they go into the game last week, and, you know, here's Sherman with only three practices, okay? And, again, no training camp, you know, no off-season program. You know he had the problems in the off-season. You know, nothing, before the season. And so then he goes there, and then it's only natural that you can expect some kind of a soft tissue injury like that. And so here it is, first quarter, he gets the hamstring injury. And even he came back and said it, probably put too much on myself in trying to, come back so quickly. And again, it's like he probably should not have been out there. He probably should have waited a couple weeks.
Yeah, because they weren't looking long term, weren't they?
No, I mean, again, they're trying to just win in the short term, but now they won't have him for 3 or 4 weeks. I feel bad. I don't feel bad for the Bucks because they're the ones that had no choice but to rush him. I just feel bad for Richard Sherman.
Yeah. Hey, and let me ask you this, too. In watching that game, I was looking at Jason Kelce, and I know he's the brother of Travis. Do they have a chance to be a brother, as brothers make it to the Hall of Fame?
No. Okay. I mean, Travis has a chance, but I don't think Jason does.
Okay, and then let me ask you this. Earlier in the season, there was a lot of talk about whether the league had caught up with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Didn't look like it on Monday night.
No, that's right. No, again, thank you for the phone call. But Lamar right now has been unstoppable. He's just been that great. Hey, coming up next, our weekly dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
It is time for our weekly dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby. And so, Dave, news yesterday that Russell Wilson is going on IR. He'll go on there officially today. Chris Carson goes on IR. So they're out to the bye week. How much of a drop-off will there be without these two guys?
Well, Carson's the interesting one. Wilson was the expected one, obviously, and the drop-off will be huge, although as we've been talking about all week, I imagine you've been talking about all day with the defense playing the way they're playing. It's maybe not the biggest concern they have, but I was it's too bad to see about Chris Carson. The offense is really going to be have one arm tied behind their back against Pittsburgh. I expect Geno Smith to play all right. He's a veteran who wasn't as bad as people remember him being back when he was playing, and he's added on a lot to his game since then. I just wonder, you know, will the Seahawks be able to win a game without Russell Wilson making one of those insane plays, whether it's with his feet or with his arm, that he seems to make in every game to win? And, you know, that's obviously not going to be the case. And with Rashad Penny out, the running game is somewhat limited. I don't know if they'll done something special with the playbook this week. I don't imagine you're going to do too much for Geno Smith. There's going to be some different things in there. So I guess if you're looking for an advantage they have, is the Pittsburgh Steelers film is not going to be much use to them, especially when they're looking at especially when they're looking at Seattle's offense.
Yeah, I mean, because all they're going to be able to look at is that the three or four drives that Geno Smith made, the 98-yard drive and the field goal drive, and a couple others that didn't work out as well, and that's all they have. Because again, it's like there's never been a game until this week where Russell Wilson hasn't played.
Well, it's really too bad because, Geno almost had a perfect story. You know, he threw the interception, and you went back and looked at the replay a couple of times, and Tyler Lockett got tangled up and fell down. Otherwise, the pass was thrown before he fell even. So it really was not an interception called on a quarterback. But those are the kind of plays that Russell Wilson seemed to manage to avoid over the years, it seems to me. So, we'll see. We'll see how soon he's ready to come back. I really have kind of pegged, John, the Saints game is the one that'll determine whether or not they can really keep playoff hopes alive, frankly.
Yeah, agreed.
They need to win that one because I have trouble winning. I have trouble seeing them win Pittsburgh. And I certainly think they're good enough to beat Jacksonville. But the New Orleans game is the wild card game. If you can get a win in that game, you got a chance to keep playoff hopes alive.
And Graz, I mean, we've been together on radio for most of 30 years together, right? And so it's like, where do you rank this town when things go wrong as far as overreacting to things? And because, again, you've been in so many different cities and all those different things. I mean, where do you rank Seattle compared to the places you've been and the places you hear about?
I think what it depends on, John, is the team and their history to a degree to what you see overreactions to. And what you're overreacting to, I think from because you're talking about, you think Seahawks fans are overreacting big time this week?
Yeah.
I think Seahawks fans have gotten a little spoiled. I mean, you know, when we just go back 10, 15 years when they weren't the Kings and were on the sidelines trying to catch up with the Sonics and the Mariners and those guys, it was a different tale altogether. Now I think people, have gotten spoiled, and I think that factors into it. I think in most cities, fans overreact. I mean, it's just a question of being fans. They overreact, and depending on the team, it can be really dramatic. And look, in this case, I'm gonna give them a pass on overreacting because of what we talked about in the last little blurb there. I mean, this is the first time since Russell Wilson's been a Seahawk that he's not playing quarterback. It's a big thing. And, couple that with the fact that they've got the worst defense in the NFL that is somehow magically going to have to get better again, and they haven't added any players to it yet. I think there's reason to be very, very concerned if you're a Seahawks fan.
No, no doubt about it. But again, it's like, okay, so, I mean, again, bad seasons happen, okay? Happens.
But they don't, John. They haven't here.
Yeah, they haven't here. But again, it's like, because right now, things are not going well. Now you got people wanting to get rid of Pete Carroll. People want to get rid of John Snyder. Russell Wilson's going to be traded. It's like, people, be reasonable. And it's like, so many people are just not being reasonable.
I think most are. I think the ones that we engage with on social media tend to be the most reactionary. I think most people are a little more reasonable than that. And certainly, if you're thinking that it's time to get rid of John Snyder and Pete Carroll, You just don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're watching. You don't know what you've been watching. You don't know what you're about to watch. I mean, we just, you know, this is a fairly unprecedented run, rare run in the NFL when you go 9-10 straight years with winning records. You know, it doesn't happen that often in the league. When you make the playoffs, you know, that many years in a row that they made it, I think they had a stretch of 6 or 7, doesn't happen that often in the league. So, you know, you're right. Every team does have bad seasons, except this one, and this one has managed to avoid it because of their brain trust, because they're exceptionally good at identifying and developing talent.
Mm-hmm. No question. And again, you know, so much of that is coaching, and so much of that is good talent acquisition by John
right.
Snyder. And here's a GM that, you know, works on every possible trade possible to see if there's a, you know, something that makes sense to him and makes sense to Pete Carroll.
Right. You know, it's hard. We've tried to describe it. I mean, the specifics of the working relationship between Pete Carroll and John Schneider would not work in any professional sports organization,
mm-hmm.
except this one, where you have the head coach hired before the Boris boss is hired, and he's sort of got the, you know, he's got final say over the GM, you know, in football, but they don't have any problem with it. There's no turf war being fought for it like there is in any other circumstances, anything like this anywhere. You know, I wish people had long enough memories to remember what things used to be like and to appreciate what things are like right now.
Yeah, no question about it, because, again, it's like, and that's the thing that people don't accept, is that it's like, okay, so you fire these guys, who are you going to replace them with, and are they going to be as good? And the answer is probably not.
No, I mean, the odds are against them being as good are probably 50-1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, we talk about the 9 years in the postseason. In 10 years, this is the greatest stretch, obviously, of Seahawk football ever. And it's one of the better stretches in the NFL for anyone. Without Tom Brady, it is the mm-hmm. best stretch in the NFL over the past 10 or 15 years. So, yeah, I consider that the lunatic fringe, John. And many of them tweet your show constantly.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, I mean, then you look at even the Mariners, and it's like here they have the 90-win season that nobody expected when they were supposed to win 76 or 78 games. And you had, you know, people at the end still, you know, wanting to get rid of Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais.
Well, I mean, in the Mariners' case, I will say it's a little bit different. They did win 90 games. It was impressive. They did not make the playoffs. They have the longest streak in all pro sports without making the playoffs. I understand cynicism there. I understand. Look, you know, I don't. I'll believe it when I see it, because they haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not illogical if they had been running off 90-win season after 90-win season and missing the playoffs, but still being very successful. That'd have been one thing, but that hasn't been the case. So, you know, they're not inclined to believe that this year is going to be different this upcoming year, whereas when you look at it logically, you see a team with a ton of young players, most of whom are coming back, if not all of whom are coming back, with a good leader in Mitch Haniger certainly coming back, with a chance to have a nice run, and, you know, it's something that hasn't been seen here in 20 years. So I can understand the pessimism from a Mariners standpoint because you haven't seen it. I do not understand it from a Seahawks standpoint because all you've had is winning.
And, of course, finally, on an NFL basis, what is your reaction to the John Gruden story?
Just like puzzlement, number one. I mean, certainly I'm not surprised to think that old school coaches still talk that way, but to email stuff like that is just beyond me. I don't understand how he could have gotten the job in the first place if they had any idea of emails like that being out there, why the league didn't tip him off, if they didn't look at him, or the Redskins didn't tip him off, Washington. I don't understand why none of the other emails are going to be released, where there's probably, obviously, some more damning things on there that should be addressed. They're going to make Gruden the sacrificial lamb, and he deserves it based on the stuff that he said, which was just horrifying from a guy that you kind of thought of as a good guy, and certainly a guy who's a broadcaster for 10, 12 years, you know, kind of earned a lot of goodwill and mm-hmm. really went ahead and trashed it all. So I feel it's too bad for Gruden. I was surprised that was in his soul, I guess, and all that. But I'm also surprised that more of those things, in particular that the Players Association isn't asking for more of those emails to be released, to at least have them go through them to see if, in fact, you know, here's the opportunity to see if you know, people were planning, we're doing things, you know, against Colin Kaepernick and not wanting to give him a job and things like that. You know, if that was in there, mm-hmm. for example, there's a lot of things that could be in there. But so I'm surprised at the limited scope, but, you know, probably more surprised that Gruden was the guy he turned out to be.
I know, because, again, it's like I work with him. I go back knowing him when he was an assistant coach, talking to him when he was in Green Bay. And so I go back with him a long way, and I had no idea about this. I mean, all I knew is that he liked to swear.
Right. Guys talk tough. I mean, yeah. that's one thing, but you don't write it down
mm-hmm.
and tell people about it. You just act the way you act. So, I mean, yeah, it was. I think you're in the spot a lot of people are in, just very, very surprised and disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. So it's like, you know, where that all goes. And I don't know, how do you think, you know, the loss of Gruden is going to affect a Raider team that, you know, really was playing its best in 4 years, and now they're in turmoil?
Of course, the irony was they had the first guy who openly declared yep. that he was gay on their team, which is just Carl Nassib.
Carl Nassib, yeah.
You just shook your head at that. Look, it cannot possibly, in my opinion, it can't possibly have a positive impact on the Raiders. I can't see this working out for them in any way, and I see them, you know, fizzling out. I mean, you're right. They had a promising start. I see it fizzling out. I just imagine what it's been like in there the last couple of weeks. You know, I think what they had with Gruden was a real strong personality, when in Mark Davis you got a guy who doesn't look to be that kind of guy. So, you know, it's Mike Mayock's going to have to step up in terms of presence in that organization. But I imagine this is going to signal another lost year for the Raiders.
Agreed. Hey, so what's on the weekend agenda for the Gras?
Well, our Kraken are playing again.
Okay.
And we didn't have a chance to talk about the baseball playoffs, which are going, and good start for the American League last night with Houston edging Boston by a run, and you got the Dodgers and the Braves going tonight in the National League. So I'm looking forward to a little playoff baseball, a little Kraken hockey, and we'll work in some Seahawk football.
That'll be great. That's our weekly dose of the Gras with Dave Grosby. Dave, have yourself a great weekend.
You too, John.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Seattle Sports Saturday coming up next. And, of course, one news item out of Carolina. Christian McCaffrey just went on injured reserve. The running back, who's making $16 million a year, and now all of a sudden what you're looking at is that he's now missed 18 of his last 24 games. Wow. Let's go to Commando Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's up, John Clayton? Man, it's great to be back on the John Clayton Show. At the end of an Oregon State beat the Huskies, the Dogs got to beat the Bruins because I can't do another bender.
Mm-hmm.
Fact of the matter, John Clayton, not only do the Huskies need to start winning games, I'm out of purple drink. Shout out to Matt the MC Nelson for getting me on the airways of 710 Cairo, home of the Geno Smith to the rescue Seahawks and the video game playing Mariners, so I can bring it to the show. And while I'm giving shout-outs, John Clayton, let me give one to the Seattle Kraken for getting their historic first win against the Predators in Nashville, home of the Grand Ole Opry and Tennessee Tuxedo. Moving from Nashville to Las Vegas, John Clayton, my sources tell me this has been an extremely emotional and tremendously ambivalent time for Chucky. And I, for one, feel sorry for him. Because of how the events of this past week played out in Vegas, I think we all knew it was just a matter of time before the fictional serial killer doll sent a cease and desist letter to Raider Nation demanding an immediate halt of any and all comparisons of him to the disgraced former Raider coach John Gruden. In a statement from his attorney, Charles Lee Ray said, "I read the emails, and that was no child's play." A long way to a punchline, John Clayton, but trust me, there's a couple movie fans out there cracking up. All joking aside, John Clayton, this was a very dark week for the Raiders that shined a Billy Joel big shot white hot spotlight on the NFL. Raider Jim is one of my favorite callers, and today I loved everything he had to say. I grew up an Oakland Raiders fan, and the kid in me is extremely sad for the organization. And John Clayton, I will reiterate, this was a dark week that flipped the switch of a 650,000-watt light on the despicable darkness of what's really going on deep inside the NFL from a societal standpoint. And you said to a caller earlier, things are getting better, but we're not there yet. From my viewpoint, it's evident the league hasn't even gotten started yet. Moving to the Huskies, John Clayton, as far as I'm concerned, today is gut check time. Or as the checkers at QSC would say, sack check time. Or as the squirrels in the park put it, time to nut up. And if the Huskies are a team that has the heart to start mounting a respectable season, they'll pound the Bruins into the turf of Husky Stadium today. The one thing that bothers me about this game, John Clayton, is how many times can the Huskies play the Bears in one season? First the Grizzlies of Montana, then the Golden Bears of Cal, now the Bruins of UCLA. I just wish one of those games could have been the Yogi Bears of Yellowstone State. And lastly, John Clayton, as a noted fantasy football detractor and former fantasy football police of the John Clayton Show with Deputy Vincent Bosco, tomorrow will be a rare fantasy football meets real football nightmare, because not in any fantasy football player's wildest nightmare would they ever trade Russell Wilson for Geno Smith. But the Seahawks fans that have called for Russell Wilson's trade, your fantasy has become real. My best to Mrs. Clayton, go Dodgers, go Huskies, go Seahawks. Talk to John Clayton.
Yeah, and for the Huskies, you got to go grin and bear it. Hey, thank you, Commando. Coming up next, Seattle Sports Saturday. This is the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.